This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon, Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Chloe Wan and Toby Nace. And we begin, as always, with Harvest Hotline. It's brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. Of course, all eyes on that Pro Farmer Crop Tour, wrapping up tonight with crop scouts from the eastern and western legs of the tour, connecting in Rochester, Minnesota. Red River Farm Network's Don Wick has an update for us.
We caught up with U.S. Farm Report host Tyne Morgan and asked about her biggest surprise of this week.
Yeah, Don, Illinois. I mean, it was so surprising. We knew that they had dealt with a lot of weather challenges, but a farmer described it to me as, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts. It's just been so many curveballs that hit this Illinois crop that typically is bulletproof. So you had hail, you had high wind, water. Some of these areas in Illinois had over 20 inches of rain in June. And so I think just this year, you know, we're really testing some of these genetics on. In dry years, they seem to prevail, but wet years, they do not like wet feet. And I think that's some of what we're finding in the field. Illinois was a big disappointment to me.
So what's this going to mean as it reflects versus the USDA production numbers we've seen as of late?
Don, I asked that of Lane Anchory last night, and typically the routes that we take in Illinois, okay, because we don't cover the whole state. So the routes that we take in Illinois typically prove to be about a 4 bushel per acre deviation from USDA's final yield. Again, because we're not counting for what's in the north and the south, we're kind of in the center of the state. If you add 4 bushel per acre to what scouts found in Illinois on Pro Farmer Crop Tour, we're still 20 bushels below USDA. And Don, I don't think this is, you know, USDA's fault. If you look at crop conditions, everything looks really good from the row. Crop conditions look great. It's when you get out in the field and start pulling back the husk on those ears that you realize there were some pollination problems out there.
What about soybeans? Are you seeing same kind of challenges there?
Soybeans are better. It's just, it's so hard to tell right now in the third week of August. There's plenty of moisture. So that's what's different about years past on Crop Tour. Years past, it's been really dry. It's hard to pull those soybean plants up. This year, there's plenty of moisture. Is it too much? I don't know. We're starting to see white mold set in. And so when you look across Indiana and Illinois, in 2 weeks, will the soybean story be different than it is today? That could possibly be the case. But it does have moisture this year to finish. Is it too much moisture? That's the question I can't answer right now. Pod counts are strong. They are. As we're getting into Iowa, it's a lot better. The crop's a lot better. But I think the soybeans, you know, what's shining in the soybeans this year may be this Iowa crop that we're uncovering as we move farther north into Iowa right now.
Tyne Morgan of U.S. Farm Report on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Again, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour wrapping up tonight. Pro Farmer will release its crop production estimates tomorrow. This is Don Wick for the Red River Farm Network.
Dry edible bean crops across North Dakota and Minnesota are showing the effects of drought and extreme heat. North Central Commodities General Manager Dylan Carley says the crop may look better from the road than it does in the field.
Overall, like a lot of our region, we've been dealing with some drought stress, significant drought stress this year. It varies a bit across the North Dakota, Minnesota region, but kind of the whole area has dealt with it to some extent. Extreme heat, extreme drought. And what we're seeing is a crop that in a lot of cases looks good from the road, but looks pretty poor when you're on your feet in the field. A lot of the plants this year aborted a significant number of pods, a lot of their pod sets. So we're going to see one of the lower average yields that we've seen in a number of years, and it's going to be pretty widespread across our entire region.
Those conditions are taking a toll on yield potential. Carley says regional yield forecasts have dropped 25 to 30% since the beginning of July.
Even on some of the specialty beans that are primarily irrigated, we're finding that the moisture didn't really keep up very well this year because it wasn't supplemented by any rainfall. So shorter than expected yields. And when I'm referencing our entire region, we do yield estimates on our region. And just looking at it from when we were estimating it as a regional group, July 1st versus now, we're probably about 25 to 30% lower on our average yield forecast than we were July 1st. And that kind of shows the significant drought problems we've had this year.
Hot and dry conditions are pushing crops ahead of schedule across eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. BASF Technical Service Representative Ken Dibert says the season is progressing quickly, with some crops running 1 to 2 weeks ahead of normal.
Season is progressing very rapidly, as everybody has certainly noticed out here with this hot and very dry weather that we've experienced over the last 30 to 45 days in many areas. Really, as this crop pushed along, we're noticing it in almost every crop. Small grain harvest that has begun quite some time ago now, but it's still continuing, certainly probably an early indicator of the harvest calendar, so to speak, is certainly pushed ahead this year. We're probably a couple weeks ahead of 1 to 2 weeks ahead of normal in some cases, and I expect that to continue when we get into crops like soybean and dry beans, canola, etc.
Those dry conditions are also challenging the disease picture. Dibert says white mold pressure has been limited in some areas, while growers continue to watch for bacterial leaf blight and frog eye leaf spot.
Are in the process or ongoing actually launching our new white mold fungicide called Zarina. And we did have some of those applications, like I mentioned, go out earlier in the year in canola. We did have some go out in soybean and dry bean, but again, limited due to that drier weather. Looking forward to working with our customers, retailers, distributors, crop consultants on this new and exciting brand, built upon our initial flagship brand in Endura, taking it to the next step by adding the Provasalt, not only to control white mold, but help control dry bean rust in dry beans, and then also frog eye leaf spot.
That was your Harvest Hotline, sponsored by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, A Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill.
Global grain sales taking a hit with the attacks on Russian-Ukrainian ships and infrastructure intensifying. In the past 5 weeks, global grain shipments are down 8% year-over-year. That's driven by a 26% year-over-year decline in grain exports from the Black Sea region.
This year has been fairly consistently dry, and drought conditions don't seem to be lifting soon. Currently, Minnesota is looking the best, with 88% of the state in least abnormally dry conditions, and 45% in that severe to extreme drought. Much worse compared to last year, when only 5% of the state was abnormally dry. South Dakota is at 90% abnormally dry, with 38% in severe to extreme drought. This time last year, only 31% was abnormally dry. And finally, North Dakota is looking the worst, with 97% of the state in abnormally dry conditions, and 32% of that same area in severe to extreme drought. This is a complete 180 compared to this time last year, when only 2% of the state was abnormally dry.
A very strong El Nino could bring a wetter fall and tighter harvest window. Nutrien principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass says that El Nino is already one for the record books.
Well, El Ninos tend to tilt the odds of the way that the atmosphere typically behaves in fall and winter in a certain direction. And as we think about it, the key thing to be watching is over the next 60 days, pay close attention to the way the flow enters the United States from the west. Generally, when we have El Niños building like the one we have now, we tend to increase this piece of the jet stream called the subtropical jet. It kind of leaves Hawaii and goes to California, then races across the midsection of the country. And the net effect of that is that El Niños tend to tilt the odds toward wetter fall time periods. In other words, it shrinks our harvest windows a little bit.
Snodgrass says El Nino could also help ease drought across the country.
The country is still covered in about 70% of drought. But, you know, you come back to your question about El Nino. We would expect, given typical El Nino-type weather patterns throughout fall, winter, and early spring next year, to likely see that total drought area across the country go from 70% now down to likely below 30% or even smaller. So there could be a pretty seismic shift coming in our weather patterns. It's just not here yet.
South Dakota cattle producers balancing strong cattle prices with challenges from heat, drought, and tight feed supplies. South Dakota Cattlemen's Association President Craig Bieber says recent weather has also resulted in livestock losses for some producers.
The FSA, you know, the livestock indemnity program is an important part of that. You know, we had a lot of producers affected. You know, there was very high heat indexes and not hardly any wind, and it really affected some producers kind of from Kimball that direction all the way south, and in a larger area than that. That's probably generalized a little bit too much, but we had producers that, you know, had heavy cattle that were in tough shape through all that, and we really would encourage them to talk to FSA about the livestock indemnity. I mean, one of the important things about that is record keeping. You know, you just have to have records of death losses and that sort of thing.
Beyond weather concerns, Bieber says cattle processing capacity remains a concern as producers look towards rebuilding that cow herd.
I mean, we've lost a lot of packing capacity here in the last year. It concerns us as we rebuild this cow herd. We did get some good news, like Fort Morgan has voted, the workers at Fort Morgan have voted to go off strike and accept the deal. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, as we rebuild the cow herd, if we lose this packing capacity, it's a concern. I mean, where are those cattle going to be harvested at? And so, you know, it's a concern for us. You know, Tyson wants to sell its Pasco, Washington plants, which really doesn't affect our area as much. I mean, it does a little because some of those cattle are coming back this direction now. And so we're going to fill packing capacity back here.
Bieber says there's interest in rebuilding cattle numbers, but limited forage supplies and strong cattle values are keeping producers cautious.
North Dakota soybean growers want more details on China's pledge to buy 25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans. The issue came up Wednesday in Grand Forks as Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk hosted U.S. Chief Agricultural Negotiator Ambassador Julie Callahan for a roundtable with North Dakota farmers and ag leaders. North Dakota Soybean Growers Association's Brent Coles says the agreement is a positive step.
We've seen some basis improvements with new crop. Going forward, the 25 million metric ton guarantee is a step in the right direction. You know, historically, we haven't been able to hit that in, like, I think 8 of the last 12 years. So, yeah, just wanted to get some clarity from the ambassador in regards to the calendar marketing year or the grain marketing year in regards to the 25 million metric ton, because we're still in a little limbo of what it's going to take, and are there any teeth in it if they don't reach the 25 million metric ton.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome back to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Red River Valley sugar beet growers are asking federal trade officials for help as low sugar prices and high costs squeeze farm income. Growers share those concerns with the U.S. Chief Agriculture Negotiator, Julie Callahan, during her visit to Grand Forks Wednesday. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Grower Association President Darren Hoyme says imported sugar is adding pressure.
Our growers at American Crystal face high inflationary costs, whether it's fuel, fertilizer, pesticides. It's been high for a number of years now. And you couple that with the depressed prices that we're getting for our sugar, it makes for a perfect storm that's not sustainable for our growers. Why are the prices down? Because we're getting a flood of sugar from some foreign bad actors into our domestic market, and that has depressed our sugar price. So I wanted the ambassador to be well aware of that, and she was. So it was encouraging to see her remarks about what they can possibly do to help mitigate that problem for us.
Callahan discussed possible trade action, including a Section 301 investigation. Hoyme says there is no firm timeline.
Congresswoman Fedorchuk was doing a very good job of trying to press her on time, but I get it. You know, we don't know. I don't know the details of what they have to do, but at least it's on their radar, and they're well aware of our situation economically, especially in the valley here.
Checking markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat September up 4.5, 698.5. We have December Chicago up 2.25, 699.75. Kansas City September's up 0.75, 762.75. September corn up 6 cents, 479. East corn up 6.25, 504. September soybeans down 1.5 at 1220, 3/4. November is up 0.25, 1237.5. In the livestock market, October live cattle up 67 cents, 217.87. September feeders down 40 cents, 328.72. And the October lean hogs down $1.35, 80.17. Thank you for listening to the Red River Farm Network.